T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm. Because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, great to be with you here. Second hour of Sports Open Line tonight. Actually going to have a pretty busy week this week when it comes to Sports Open Line. Wednesday night, we'll get to talk about NHL free agency opening up. We've got a day game for the Cardinals, so we'll get to do that on Wednesday evening. And actually, what we'll definitely be getting to do on Wednesday evening is talk about the trade deadline as well. So as we get deeper into the week, we've already started to see some moves happen in baseball. No blockbusters, but some solid moves, some teams kind of shifting some things around to make a run. And again, I'll be curious to see what this week actually turns out to be with so many teams. Like, you know, I mentioned this earlier, but there are so many more buyers than sellers right now. I mean, if you look at the American League, Boston, Tampa, New York, Toronto, they've all been reported as buyers. Chicago's a buyer. Houston, Oakland, Seattle might even be a buyer. Seattle is at 54-46, and if I'm not mistaken, they're only a few games out of a wild card spot, if I remember right. They're only what, a game and a half behind Oakland for the second wild card spot. So, you know, that's seven or eight buyers right there in the American League, and some of the other teams aren't really truly sellers, right? Like Cleveland's not a total seller. Now, if they were, and they were going to be like, well, here's Jose Ramirez, well, a lot of teams would probably come calling on that, but. You know, a lot of the bad teams are kind of limited in what they have. And then you get a team like the Angels that's perpetually in the middle. And they're right now where the Cardinals are. They're 500. They're not a seller. So, you know, when you look at the available players, it's not that much, right? I mean, how much do the Marlins have to sell, as an example? How much do the Pirates have left to sell now that they've moved Frazier? I mean, they're just, again, not a whole, like, they'll move their closer, Rodriguez, but I doubt that they'd want to do that within the division, and who knows, maybe they would. But I mean, like there just aren't that many teams that are like, okay, let's go fire sale time, we're moving. Rockies would move a few guys, Diamondbacks would, Pirates probably still would, Marlins I guess, but there's again not a lot that they have other than Starling Marte. And as I talked about earlier with the Cardinals, I mean, an outfielder is not what you want right now. Your outfield's producing. It is, and you can doubt whether it will continue or not, but it is. The greater area of need is pitching, on the pitching side. And there just aren't that many high-caliber starters. We don't know the status of Scherzer. So we'll talk more about this as we go through the week, because that's where we were over the course of the last hour. And I want to move this forward and start talking a bit about what's going on with the Blues, because it's been an interesting offseason already, right? I mean, we knew they were going to lose somebody of quality in the expansion draft. I was like, if you were like me, you know, I was hoping that it was going to be Tarasenko, just because of the cap space that creates for you, right? If you're going to lose a good player, and it would be a player that doesn't want to be here anyway, and you get the benefit of all of that cap space coming open, man, that would be a win. I mean, that is the trade return all by itself in my world. Maybe that's not how everybody else would look at it, but that's how I do. But you lose Vince Dunn instead, and I think there was clearly something not connecting there. And Dunn now gets an opportunity, whether it's with Seattle or being traded by Seattle somewhere else. He gets the opportunity to go get the minutes that he didn't think he was getting here in terms of the priority. And the Blues, look, he, you know, Dunn's a good defenseman. They can replace him. They've got a good core of defensemen. They've got some good young ones coming along. I think they'll be okay there. And who knows, maybe in free agency there's a replacement there too. But after all that, you got a nice trade. I really liked the trade for Buchnevich from the Rangers. I thought that was a good pick, a good trade. I mean, it was Sammy Blais in a pick, and I like Sammy Blais' style, but I think you clearly got the best player in the deal. It's going to cost you. You got to pay the guy. He's an RFA, but I thought that was a nice upgrade in talent, and it's a good hedge against the possibility of losing Jaden Schwartz, Mike Hoffman, Tyler Bozak. They're all free agents, and I know that according to all the reporting I've seen, JR, the comments that I've heard from Doug Armstrong, you know, they're still engaged on those guys. They're keeping an eye on it. But it's a good idea to have somebody under team control that brings a little bit more of what those guys would take away if they end up leaving, but especially Schwartz and Hoffman. Now, if you can keep them, you know, or find a way to make the money work to get everybody all set, and of course this is all tied into the Tarasenko deal too, you got some really interesting possibilities here, depending on, you know, what ends up happening on the Tarasenko side, how fast, how long or how short it's going to be before you actually can get a deal done. If you could do something soon that doesn't, where you clear up some cap space, well, okay, there's some big names out there. You know, we've heard the rumors that they like Gabriel Landeskog. I know there was a report, I think Andy Strickland tweeted this, that, you know, they were interested in Ryan Suter, but he wants a little bit more term than they're willing to offer right now. So again, they're able to play in the marketplace right now with what they have available. And they clearly have needs, right? I mean, you know, Schwartz and Hoffman and Bozak, those guys all occupied significant roles at some point or another during the year. And obviously Schwartz at times has been one of your best players, and he was certainly a playoff performer for a number of years. But you're also at a point, too, where you might have to shift and look outside. And I don't see any of this as anything more than the natural progression in a sport that has a salary cap. I mean, as you pay people, others are going to end up hitting free agency. And it's up to the next crew, the guys you're developing, so the guys like Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas, to continue to provide the production on value. And you just keep that cycle moving where you always have a couple of guys that are producing at a lower salary base that allows you to go out and pick up the extra guys that you need. I shouldn't say extra. I'll edit that sentence. To pick up the guys you need to put yourself in legit contention, because this is a team that is built to try to win at the moment. This is not a rebuild. It's not, hey, we're going to extend our window another 5 or 6 years. It's a team that, look, their plan is to contend. Their plan is to contend now and for the next couple of years. And at some point, you'll have to change up, you know, the whole long-term process. But right now, you're in the middle of what I would have to say is a window of opportunity. So we're actually going to talk about all of this coming up in just a couple minutes. In fact, I'll just shut up and we'll do all of this with Darren Pang coming up next here on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, you're back in on Sports Open Line. Happy to be talking a little Blues. And by the way, really happy to be talking about the Blues with Darren Pang from Bally Sports Midwest. You, of course, find Panger on Twitter, at Panger40. First of all, Panger, it's always great to talk hockey with you. Second of all, how's the golf game going, man? You doing all right this summer?
You know what? I am doing well. It seems like it's been a long off season already. But I think everybody – I tell you what, Kev, I think everybody needs a little rebooting with all that's gone on the last little while. So it has been good. As you well know, I actually take off from St. Louis in the summer. I go to a little lake house I've got in Michigan. I've always loved the weathers in Michigan. I played a couple of years in Saginaw on the IHL way back when, and just love the area. Love that it's not so humid, and I'll be back in St. Louis there to begin the season again.
I know the area well, Panger. I grew up not too far from where you are, and my parents are probably 10-15 minutes from where you are. So I get exactly what you're talking about when it comes to the summer months.
Where did you, it's pretty nice. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Livonia.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, just a little Highland township there close to Milford.
Okay.
Yeah. Everybody asks, hey, what lake are you on? Well, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these little spring-fed lakes and places where suburbanites would just go there for the weekend, have their little cottages, yep. And then get out of Dodge. And now they're becoming more, let's go there and live there full time. So that's where that's really great. Livonia is a great town as well.
Yeah, like I had the privilege as a kid, Panger, of watching Ally Afraidy when he was a high school player. I saw Pat LaFontaine play when he was 15, 16 years old. So it's a good place to grow up when you're a young hockey fan.
Well, it's funny because I talked to Mike Modano, grew up.
Oh, yeah?
Livonia guy. He actually grew up on the little lake. It's called Duck Lake. And he goes, no kidding. He says, I used to snowmobile over there in the woods park. And I'm like, that's really something else. And a lot of great players. You mentioned Ally Afraidy. That's a great underrated defenseman that could really fire it. And LaFontaine and so many guys from the Detroit Little Caesars and Honey Baked and what have you. So real hockey hotbed. In fact, that's where Doug Armstrong and his staff are right now in Plymouth.
Right.
Watching the prospects play this week.
Yep, and again, that's probably, well, I'm doing the mileage here. That's probably 2 miles from where my sister lives. we're all over the same places, and obviously that's part of the off season, right? Everybody gets a chance to get away, and for the guys in the front office, as you mentioned, Panger, it's getting away, but it's also some work there, and it's been fast and furious here these last couple weeks, hasn't it?
Well, it really has. I mean, I think for the managers, I think, you know, Doug Armstrong and his staff, and in particular, you know, the pressure is really on the amateur guys. And, you know, I mean, in the last 2 years, I mean, we've had the Ontario Hockey League hasn't even, you know, they haven't played. And the year before that, it was shortened. So you're drafting players that you're based on your knowledge and your work ethic and believing that that player is still on the same track. So, you know what, in all fairness to these guys, if there's some misses at this amateur draft, it's hard to, you know, you can't blame anybody because that's just the way it's going to be. There's probably going to be some hits, too, that maybe certain scouts or general managers projected that player to be something and maybe they've even exceeded. So I'm really interested to, like, 2, 3, 4 years down the line to see, you know, to see which players either maintain their value or maybe some guys dropped off or maybe some guys are better than what they were. But I do know this, that the Blues were very happy. They didn't have a lot of picks, but I think they were really happy with the quality of picks that they had in this draft.
You know, it's and of course, all of this is condensed because of the way things have been, and, you know, looks like we're getting back to something more normal for next season. But, you know, in the process of all of this, right, you're trying to have the amateur side going with the draft and getting the best job done there. You have the expansion draft, and you lose Vince Dunn there. We've got Vladdy's trade request. Free agency is about to start. Made a nice trade, too, by the way. I thought the addition of Buchnevich was really a smart one, considering the guys that you have in free agency that you still have to work with and some of the other questions around the team.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think Pavel Buchnevich is a real find for our team. I think he plays the way, the head coach, Craig Berube, wants players to play. I think he's got enough in him where he's got some skill. There's no question, and he's a big, long, rangy guy, but he can also, he can also get his nose dirty a little bit. And so another good find by Doug Armstrong. By all counts, everybody, including Joe Micheletti, that's the analyst there with the New York Rangers, have a lot of great things to say about Pavel. So a restricted free agent, I'm sure that Doug Armstrong is ready to get that one done. He's got Zach Sanford, Barbashev, Robert Thomas, Dakota Joshua, I think Jordan Kyrou. Mm-hmm. Are all players that are restricted free agents. So he does have his work cut out for him still, just getting these deals done and hammering away at agents and getting the price that he wants. But as we already know from his dealings in the past, including Vince Dunn, and, there's been some Joel Edmondson, and even to unrestricted free agents like Alex Pietrangelo. Mm-hmm. He's a hard negotiator. I think he's a fair negotiator, but he's willing to put a line in the sand, and that's what makes him one of the shrewdest general managers in the NHL.
Yeah, and it's funny, Panger, when you look at trades, you don't win every one of them, but boy, he's got some really big wins. And so, even in some spots where you weren't sure you were going to be able to get out from underneath the contract, like with Yori Lehterä's contract, and you turn that into Braden Schenn. Now, it came at a draft pick cost, but still, you got a player that really made a big difference for you on a Stanley Cup winner and a guy that's still a part of your core. And, I find all of that, the way you kind of set that up, interesting when we consider the situation with Vladimir Tarasenko and the request to be moved, but also what Army said the other day about, look, we're going to try to accommodate it, but, it's got to work for the team, too. We can't just make a deal to do a favor for a player.
Well, that's exactly right. And then now Army's, he's in a tough spot. There's only so many teams that Vladimir Tarasenko is going to go to, but we've seen here certain teams have made deals. For example, I know it was a financial deal, but like Oliver Ekman-Larsson only had a two-team trade request, Vancouver and Boston. And last year, their agent finally put a deadline on it before the start of the season. Bill Armstrong couldn't come up with a deal. Well, a year later, he found the deal. And, I think in this case with Vladdy, the difficulty is that there are only so many trades there. The other difficulty is the flat cap. Right. His cap is 7.5, but the money owing to him is 9. I think that Doug Armstrong and his relationship with other GMs and the fact that, Vladdy will be a highly motivated player, the team that makes a trade, if that does happen, is going to get a highly motivated, player for him for sure. But not easy for Doug Armstrong, not easy to put together. And that's why, like you said, I like the fact that, that Army put it right back into his own hands and mm-hmm. said, your training has to come with the expectation that you're going to be a St. Louis Blue. And so you're going to have to come to camp. You're going to have to be in great shape. And because there's always that chance that we don't make a deal. So just because someone requests a trade doesn't mean it's easily available to make.
No, especially not at that level of all things, right? That level of production, that level of pay. It's a difficult thing to pull off, but look, there's leverage that goes both ways, right? You can limit where you'd like to go, but if those teams aren't willing or able to pull the trigger, maybe you increase your list. Maybe you add a team or two that you'll consider.
Yeah, not the first time that's happened, that's for sure. It's also for a player that, he won a Stanley Cup, and we know the reputation of Vladdy as a goal mm-hmm. scorer, but coming off the surgeries, it's very important for Vladdy to show teams how strong he is, and everybody will be wanting the test. Everybody wants to see how the shoulder is. Everybody wants to see if he's still got the Nolan Ryan fastball.
Right.
And that's obviously a key for any team looking at Vladdy. But he's relatively young. We all know he's a big, strong guy. He does, he needs a creative centerman because he's a scorer. And, scorers are somewhat stubborn in their ways as well. So we'll see what happens with Vladdy. But in the meantime, Doug Armstrong has not given away any assets. That is for sure. And I don't see Doug Armstrong eating any money as well. It's something that he has never, he doesn't do that.
Right.
He doesn't take on money in deals. So there's a lot of things to consider here when talking about Vladdy's future.
Panger, we'll close on this because I know all of this ties in too to free agency open up this week. And as you point out, it's a flat cap. So there are a lot of teams that are in tight spots when it comes to that, which does open up some opportunities if you have the cap space to move. And the Blues do have some of their own guys in there too, with Jaden Schwartz, Mike Hoffman, Tyler Bozak. So they have some, whether it's bringing those guys back or replacing them with someone else, they certainly have some work to do. But it looks like this is going to be a decent market to get something done.
Yeah, yeah, I do agree with you. I think Jaden Schwartz, it's been documented that he had that window of opportunity to have that conversation with mm-hmm. Seattle. Looks like he wants to wait. And I think he had that same conversation with Army at the very beginning. I mean, a lot of things have, you know, going through the mind of Jaden with his father passing so suddenly. Yeah. I love the fact that Doug Armstrong just, you know, I mean, he has total respect for Jaden and kind of like, okay, you sit back, you see what's going on out there. And if it happens to you and you hit a home run, I mean, that's really great because everybody loves Jaden Schwartz and wants the best for him. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't, you know, there's always that opportunity to have him come back. I actually see Tyler Bozak coming back. I think he's a player now. He's played a long time. He's won a Stanley Cup. His family likes it in St. Louis. I mean, I can see a deal being made for Tyler Bozak because his value as a penalty killer cannot go unnoticed. And he's a great mentor for the younger players as well, and he can still play. That's a guy that I see coming back on a lesser deal.
Looks like we got plenty to look forward to later on in the week, and obviously training camp. I just saw this. Training camp is, 6 weeks away or something along those lines. It's been coming up on us fast, but we'll look forward to getting back to the normal schedule, and Panger, we'll look forward to seeing you out at the rink here when we get back to training camp time. Thank you for spending a little time with me. I appreciate it. Enjoy the golf for the rest of the summer and the time on the lake, and we'll see you back here in St. Louis soon.
Yeah, my pleasure, pal. Thanks for having me on the show, and I'll make sure I enjoy that Michigan weather for you.
All right, you take care. It's Darren Pang from Bally Sports Midwest. You'll find him on Twitter, of course, at Panger40. If you're listening to Sports Talk in St. Louis, I'm guessing you know that. But I do it because you never know. You never know. Somebody might think, I don't follow Panger. I got to follow that. But they're in an interesting spot. And I think that, to me, and I'm speaking not for, you know, not as a quote-unquote analyst or anything like this. I'm speaking as a hockey fan that really enjoys the work that Doug Armstrong has done. And I'm not trying to argue that every move has been perfect, every contract has worked or anything like that. But I still think that that in my evaluation of things, the benefit of the doubt still goes to him. He has more home runs than he has strikeouts. When it comes to deals, whether it's – and again, I understand the criticisms. I understand the questions about, you know – moving on from Pietrangelo and paying Torrey Krug, for example. I mean, I totally get it. I understand completely. And I understood the questions and the criticisms about paying Justin Falk and then eventually not paying Alex Pietrangelo. But, you know, year one for Falk was difficult, and it was an odd year and all that. But year two was a lot better. I mean, year two was a massive difference. We saw the guy that we had seen in Carolina, and I'm wondering if that same thing's going to happen with Torrey Krug when you get to year two as well. But I just want to be clear, I'm not saying nobody should ever criticize the Blues. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm just saying that in my evaluations, they're still getting the benefit of the doubt on transactions. And it doesn't mean that they're all, again, doesn't mean they're all going to be wins. It might have been, you know, one of these moves, you know, if Schwartz walks and it blows up on you, all right, I understand that. But I'm still in the in Army I trust mode. Maybe I'll come out of it at some point. Maybe I'm wrong to be there at this point. But we're not that far removed from a lot of really savvy moves that led to a Stanley Cup. And this is an offseason that's going to require some savvy moves. So let's see how it plays. I'm interested, man. I can't wait to see how things go with the opening of free agency later on this week, coming up on Wednesday, and whether that leads to, you know, trades or, you know, a quick signing here or there that benefits the Blues. We'll see how it goes out. And we'll talk more about this later on in the week as well. I do want to shift gears a little bit in the next segment and get to a little college football, because the college football world, you know, people, it's funny, when we talked college football a couple of weeks ago, it was all about name, image, and likeness, and how's this going to change the sport, and is this going to, you know, quote unquote, ruin everything, or is it going to change the balance of power? And I, you know, my argument was it's not going to change a thing. You know, the big name players are going to get paid. And they're going to be able to earn money based on the work that they've done, but they're still going to go to the same schools that they would have gone to, because that's where you win. And by winning, you raise your profile. By raising your profile, you raise the possibility of all these other things. So I don't think it's going to change much there. But what will be changing the landscape is what's going on with Texas and Oklahoma. And we're going from super conferences, which is kind of where we are now, to like super conferences on steroids, which is where we're headed. We'll talk a bit about what's going on in college football next up here on KMOX. All right, you're back in on KMOX, and you know, look, we're in a great time right now. This is not normally as crazy a time in sports as it is right now. Normally, the middle of the summer is just, you know, we're coming off the All-Star break and things are a little bit on the quieter side. Because, you know, by now, NHL free agency would have already had the big boom, right? Normally, it's the beginning of July. But obviously, the schedules are all different now and they're compacted and we'll get back to normal next year. But, you know, what we have this week is free agency opening in the NHL. You've got the trade deadline in baseball. And now college football has been noisy as heck over the last couple of weeks. And obviously, the first part was the name, image, and license coming into play. And by the way, the college football world still proceeds. It's going to be okay. Players making money off of the fame that their work has generated is a perfectly okay concept. But and people were worried about how much that will change the landscape and all that. And look, there will be changes. I just don't think it's going to dramatically change the product that you and I see on TV. What will, though, is the latest news. And, you know, this is not brand new. It's been coming out. It's been out there for, you know, almost a week now. But Texas and Oklahoma have informed the Big 12 that they will not be re-signing to stay in the conference after 2025 or in 2025. We don't have, it's not right now confirmed that it's going to be the SEC, but that's where it's going, right? I mean, Texas and Oklahoma heading to the SEC makes great financial sense. I mean, if you do it this way, if you go that route, you're going with so many of the big name brand programs, right? I mean, you already have Alabama, you've already got Georgia, who's a big brand. Auburn's a brand. LSU, Florida, and you're adding two more that are massive. I mean, you know, obviously Texas, in terms of competitiveness, hasn't been there in recent years as far as an elite program. But in terms of the business side, in terms of popularity and following and all that, they are one of the big dogs. I mean, you know, top three in the country when it comes to just presence and financial impact. And Oklahoma's up there, too. And Oklahoma's obviously doing it on the field, too. So, I mean, I understand why the conference would want this. Because, I mean, it's going to mean a lot more money. You're getting, you know, your conference is now reaching more television sets in states that it doesn't currently have the same foothold. I mean, you got Texas A&M in the state of Texas, but that doesn't cover the whole state, right? That's only one fan base. You can have both of the biggest fan bases with Texas and A&M. And I know A&M is not going to like the idea. And I'd be a little bit surprised if other schools weren't going to protest this at all. I'd be a little surprised if the middle tier, you know, the Kentuckys, South Carolina, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Mizzou, for example, Arkansas, Vandy, I'd be a little surprised if they're all totally on board on this. Now, again, the money is great, and there's going to be more money. Everybody will make more money if those two schools jump to the SEC. Everybody will. But what are you selling away for that cost? Because what it'll do, you know, following the pandemic and all of that, it might help a lot of these athletic departments recover and continue to have all of the sports that they have, or maybe even bring back some sports that they eliminated. You know, there might be a lot of long-term big benefits to that. But do you view that as a fair price for diminishing your chances at winning? For diminishing your chances of going to the SEC title game or getting to the college football playoff? Now, maybe that's not a realistic concern for the teams that I listed, at least not on a regular basis. But if that's what it's going to become, and if just getting out of your conference becomes damn near impossible, might that long-term have a negative impact on you financially when it comes to donors, when it comes to tickets sold, when it comes to the value of your property? I don't mean your real estate. I mean the intellectual properties. I don't have a great answer for that. I mean, maybe it is worth it. Maybe the idea of an extra $15 million or $20 million a year per program more than covers what you might lose by being a perennial middle achiever and not being able to get over. Because no matter how they split this up, no matter how they put it together, and I saw one person make a logical point. I don't remember who it was. It was on Twitter, but it was a logical point, even though it was on Twitter, that, you know, that if you're doing this, what would make sense would be sliding Alabama and Auburn over to the east, and then you slot in Texas and Oklahoma in the west. So you got Texas, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, LSU. You got all of them in the west, and then you've got Bama, Auburn, Georgia, Florida in the east. Both of them are going to be loaded. That would make the most sense for preserving rivalries, for not having to make too many allowances from one half of the conference to the other when it comes to scheduling and all that. That makes a lot of sense if you go that route. But man, do you want to be in the SEC East if Georgia and Auburn, I'm sorry, if Bama and Auburn join Georgia and Florida as the top four there? Man, like, you know, you're going to have to go a long way to beat a lot of these teams. And again, I know Texas isn't the power right now that they could be, but I mean, the right coach, the right circumstances, any given set of years, they could become that. It's an interesting question. Like, what is it worth? Now, the other thing to keep in mind here is the bigger picture. Because, well, number one, you might even have to go away from, you know, east and west in the SEC. Maybe you have to break it into four instead of two divisions. You go with four. They're calling them pods, but to me, four divisions, whatever. You have to you break it up in a different way to make it more doable. But either way, if this happens, and it sure looks like it's heading in that direction, you would probably end up seeing the Big Ten make a similar move. And I would think the Pac-12 would have a simpler move. And guess what? This has been predicted by a lot of people for a while, that eventually what's going to happen is you're going to have four 16-team conferences, and that's going to be what college football is moving forward. Yeah, you'll have big conferences. And then basically nobody else in terms of the college football playoff. And, you know, what's interesting here is, what does this mean for Notre Dame, for example? I know they really value being independent, but I mean, is this trending towards a world where you don't have any choice? And honestly, I would like it to go that way. Nothing against Notre Dame. I mean, I've rooted against Notre Dame my whole life. I grew up near the University of Michigan. I went to the University of Miami. I mean, you know, so it's a rivalry thing, right? It's not a hate thing. It's just a sports rivalry thing. So I've always rooted against Notre Dame, but not for human reasons. Like, I've had great friends that went to Notre Dame. Kids that I've coached go there. Like, I don't hate the school. But on a fan basis, I root hard against them. And I don't understand why in 2021 people are still making exceptions for them. Join the group or don't. But if you want to be on your own, you're on your own. No promises on college football playoff or anything like that. You want to do it by yourself? Do it by yourself. And if I don't know why the ACC lets them do what they do, which is participate in everything but football. In other words, you get to participate in everything except the real value that you bring, which is the football program. I don't get it. I don't understand why in 2021 we're still doing this. I mean, Notre Dame is still a big deal, but they're not as big a deal as they used to be. And with this trend, you're going to lose even more sway as you go. So it'll be interesting to see if their view changes as this progresses. Because I do think we're going to continue to see this. I do think, I don't know when, but at some point, we will have the four 16-team conferences. And then that's the group that will compete for the national championship. And everybody else will be in a different group. And I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't really know if I have a strong feeling, positive or negative, about it. It's the logical path that we're following. And, you know, in the end, the money's going to win. It always has, and in sports, it always will. All right, real quick, we'll come back and wrap things up, tell you what's coming up the rest of the week here on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
I'd wrap it up Monday here on Sports Open Line. Obviously, really busy week the rest of the week, and looking forward to it, too, because it'll be a fun one. We got Cardinals and Indians the next couple of days, tomorrow night, and then Wednesday afternoon. And that means Wednesday night we'll be on with another Sports Open Line, and that'll give us a chance to do a bunch of things that, you know, might otherwise not have time for. It's one of those unique weeks where we actually get to do three shows, and it's perfect for this week. In fact, actually, I think Wednesday is going to be a strike zone. So Thursday night, we'll be able to do some more hockey and do some things along those lines with the free agent marketplace opening up and all that. And then we'll also do a little more baseball on Thursday. I think John Heyman's going to join us Thursday night and talk about the trades, what's going on in the trade market, rumors and all that kind of stuff. So we'll definitely have a busy week when it comes to, the business of baseball, of course, free agency and all of that. But what I'm really curious about here is a little bit larger stretch than just this week. This week is kind of a build up for the Cardinals, right? You've got an Indians team the next couple of days. That's kind of where you are, and you've got your two best starters going in the series with Waino and KK, and you're going up against Cal Quantrill and Zach Plesac. And again, those guys, they're fine, but they're not. You're not running into like Justin Bieber, for example. Of course, he's hurt, but you get that opportunity. And then leading in, as the deadline's passing, you've got a little homestand there against Minnesota and Atlanta. Then it's Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Kansas City. I mean, like the month of August has opportunities to make up a lot of ground. And that, like the short term, right? Minnesota, Cleveland's kind of like you. Minnesota is struggling. Atlanta's kind of like you. Kansas City, Pittsburgh struggling. So you're lining this up where the next series you'll be playing against a team that's better than you in the standings by more than a game or so will be Milwaukee. And I think August sets up well. Now, again, this assumes that the offense continues to produce the way that it has been here in July, because again, it's measurable. It's not a guess. It's not a feeling. It's not my opinion. It's measurable. The offense has been better in the month of July. It's been actually really good in the month of July. So if August can look like that offensively, and you can get Michaelis and Flaherty back, and hopefully before the deadline, add an arm or two for some depth, bullpen starter, whatever, both, whatever. There are a lot of winnable games in the month of August. You got six against Kansas City. And we know that, again, they're in a building mode still. You've got three different series against Pittsburgh in the month of August. You play them 10 times in August, a team that's already started to sell off some of its best players. You got a little more against Detroit in there, right? So you've got, August is an opportunity because September is going to be tough. September is Milwaukee, L.A., Cincy, the Mets, the Padres, Milwaukee, right? You got a lot of opportunities head-to-head against the Brewers, but August is going to be make or break. It really is. I mean, September is going to be brutal with all those tough teams. So, while this week is interesting, next month is really what it's all about. Thanks for jumping in, man. We appreciate you guys getting in on Sports Open Line. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on the Cardinals pregame.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your
vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.